welcome to The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and each week I hope you'll join me to hear a story that sucks. A tale that is so terrible, an adventure so awful, that it's great. This week I will be reading a single story. As always, the author's original writing has been maintained as much as possible. So without further ado, here is Akemi's Secret Passion by Lord Rebecca Sama. Chapter 1. Marry Me? Akemi's POV. I was walking through the park, wondering where to strike next. Kids are so easy to scare. My right hand held Michi-chan tight against my chest. My hair was tied up on the top of my head, like it normally is, to keep it out of my face. Although, with bangs, that is a little hard to do. Too many kids with their parents. Whatever happened to trusting people? I guess that disappeared along with Latin. Even when people were speaking it, it was a dead language. I would never tell anyone this. Not even Atsumichi. Once a month he goes off to Japan to visit his parents. They were turned at the same time he was, much to his dismay. I don't think they like me very much. I think because I always have Michi-chan with me. I never let him go. Atsumichi gave him to me on our first date. Well, it was a rough version of Michi-chan now, but I loved him all the same. Then, when Hot Topic came out with Shadow Skull Animals, he bought Michi-chan for me, and the old one is sitting in our house. I don't think Atsumichi's parents approve of a grown girl carrying around a stuffed animal. I met Atsumichi before I was a vampire, and I loved him long before I knew he was a vampire, while I was still human. I brought him home to meet my parents, and they loved him immediately. But they were really ahead of their time. They said I could marry whoever I wanted. Atsumichi's parents are, well, more traditional. They hate how modern I made him. I sighed. Flashback, 150 years.
Good afternoon, Akemi-chan.
Atsumichi said as he picked me up from my house.
Good afternoon to you too, Michi-kun.
I gripped the old Michi-chan tighter.
Where are we going today?
I'm taking you to meet my parents.
He said calmly.
What? What do you? I don't get it, huh?
I was really confused. He laughed.
I'm taking you, my sweet Akemi-chan.
He poked my nose.
To meet my parents.
I giggled.
So there.
I trailed off. We stopped walking.
Yes,
he said simply. I inwardly sighed. He looked so cute when he was troubled.
What's wrong?
I asked. He took a breath.
Your parents already said I could, and I wanted to ask you this for a long time, but I couldn't find the right moment to ask before. I want to ask you before you meet my parents, though.
I put my head on his cheek and turned his head towards me.
Ask me what?
Will you marry me?
I just stood there, staring at him for a minute. He must have taken my silence the wrong way, because he said,
You don't have to.
He got cut off because I snapped out of my shock and threw my arms around his neck and kissed him full on the lips. Yeah, I was bold for my time, too. We kissed for about 5 minutes.
Humph! Kids have no manners.
Some guy muttered and walked away, shaking his head. We started laughing. When we calmed down, I said,
I love you, Atsumichi Fujita, and I want to be with you always.
He kissed me on the forehead.
I love you too, Akemi Ichigo.
I blushed.
Now, let's go tell my parents.
We started walking away.
Wait, what about my parents?
That was Akemi's Secret Passion by Lord Rebecca Sama. And now time for the part of the show where we bring in a special guest to commentate on the story that we've just read, as well as play a couple of games with us. Today we have Jeffrey Levantre, acclaimed author of such books as My Nose Around the Corner, and other things that I haven't read. Jeffrey Levantre, how are you doing this evening?
Well, as good as I can after hearing that tearjerker of a story.
Yes, it's very obvious that your emotions have overwhelmed you. Are those tears, dried tears on your face?
No, I got rid of the tears, but now my eyeballs are very dry.
Jeffrey, are you okay?
No.
Jeffrey, we can get you some water if you need to put...
No, it's okay. I just finished something that started about an hour ago. I'm fine now. Although I will need to use your changing rooms after we're done.
Our changing rooms? Like
yeah.
Clothes changing rooms?
Preferably.
Is it okay if you just use the bathroom?
No. Something? No. Well, I can if you're not properly equipped for the author of My Nose Around the Corner and the other books that you so rudely haven't read before having me on a show, you kid.
Excuse me, Mr. Levantre. I'm sorry, but... I'm sorry we're not equipped, but we also don't allow profanity on the show anymore. We got a nasty letter from a viewer. Not a viewer, a listener. But what we've decided to do is, because we know you have a history of saying inappropriate things, we're just going to ask that every time you use a profane word that you cover it up with some kind of strange sound. So would you mind providing us with a strange sound that we can use throughout the show whenever you use profanity?
Oh, of course. Let me think about it for just a moment here.
How about I say a profane word and then you'll make the sound?
Okay. Okay.
So for the word, you will make the sound. All right. I think that should work. For the word, you might say. Oh, okay. That sounds pretty good. And what about for the word?
Lamp. Lamp.
That's interesting. So for the word...
Lamp.
You just said the word lamp. So it's just...
Just lamp. So, for example, if I were to say, please shove your ideas up your stupid lamp, it might actually say stupid lamp, which should get plenty of laughs, if I do say so myself.
Wow, that's very insightful of you. Are these the same kind of insights we can expect if we read your novel, My Nose Around the Corner, or any of your other works?
Well, if you read the rest of my works, you would know that this is a very common thing throughout my books. I often don't use profanity, but instead use other languages' holy scriptures instead.
That sounds a little offensive.
Oh, well, you hired me.
You're not getting paid, actually. This is a free podcast. We have no money. We give no money to our special guests.
Well, then I don't feel bad putting in the effort that I am.
All right. Well, moving on, let's perhaps talk about our story this week, Akemi's Secret Passion by Lord Rebecca Sama. What did you think about this story, Mr. Levantre?
You know, I liked it quite a bit. I found a lot of interesting little details. I really liked the fact that, for some reason, Akemi was very worried that the children were not accompanied by parents. It seemed like she wanted them alone. And that kind of concerned me, but also really drew me into the story.
Yeah, I think you're right. There did seem to be, unlike some of the other stories, perhaps even all of the other stories that we've read, there did seem to be a certain undertone of stalker or a pedophilic quality, which arguably makes for great literature. I mean, if you've read Lolita, that great piece of work by Nabokov.
Or the Great Superfudge by Judy Blume.
I'm sorry, the Great Superfudge has pedophilic qualities?
Well, it depends on the reader.
I would say that the text would probably have to have undertones. It wouldn't really depend on the reader.
We'll have to disagree.
I'm going to probably read The Great Superfudge, and I'm fairly certain that I'm not going to find anything pedophilic. Unless, of course, I am a pedophile, and I'm reading it for some kind of sexual perversion.
Well, in my book, My Nose Around the Corner, we talk about that a lot. And yeah, Superfudge is talked about quite a bit, is all I'm going to say.
That's interesting because while I have not read My Nose Around the Corner, I was told, or I read on your Wikipedia page, that My Nose Around the Corner was an autobiographical novel. And so now you're telling me that you talk about interpreting Superfudge in your autobiographical novel as pedophilic, which I'm suggesting one could only do if you were a pedophile. Should I have introduced you as Jeffrey Levantre, author of such books as My Nose Around the Corner, other books I haven't read, and Notable Pedophile?
Yes.
Well, I guess now that we have that out of the way, we can talk more about the story. Any other thoughts?
I was confused of why she didn't just cut her bangs. It seems like it would get really tiring putting a bun on top of your head every day. She seemed like a very sweet and intelligent girl, and I couldn't believe that. So that characterization was a little out there for me. That was the only thing I disliked.
Well, yeah, I suppose I also do get tied up from time to time in the hair follicular activities of the characters and their believability or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I see where you're coming from. Yeah,
a nice side sweep at least, but the bun just seems so tiring. And, you know, if you're going to be alive forever, which I assumed she was a vampire at that point, it was hard to tell.
Yeah.
You know, you want to take care of your hair because who says your hair is going to stay alive forever? I'm not really sure how vampires work. I'm sure they're different from, you know, medium to medium. But I did like the fact that they addressed vamphobia. The parents were very disgusting in that sense, that they wouldn't let their daughter see him with their permission. So, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
I had the feeling that in the next chapter that her parents were going to give him that stinky garlic steak treatment, if you know what I mean.
I think we had a little bit of confusion, actually. One, I suppose perhaps I would agree, perhaps when we do our games in just a minute, you can decide whether the parents would give the Atsumichi, I believe was his name, the stinky garlic steak treatment or not. But if you recall, when we originally listened to the story, during Akemi's POV, she was a vampire. And then we went 150 years in the past, and I believe Akemi referred to Atsumichi as being a vampire before she was, and that his parents turned at the same time. And then she was turned later, presumably unrelated, but perhaps related. To our listening audience, long-time listeners, if you go back to our story Accidental Bite, perhaps these are connected, perhaps this is a fanfic of Accidental Bite, where the main character is accidentally bitten by her vampire boyfriend, Mr. Levantre. I'm not sure if you're a listener or not, but we've been doing this for 7 episodes now.
I have listened in, and, you know, that's something I was wondering. Plot holes are tricky because sometimes they can be enjoyable because it lets you fill it in, and then sometimes they're like other holes within this story where you just want that filled. I would have really liked to see that hole filled. And the plot,
Mr. Levantre, I would like to say we are a family show, and I'm not sure it's appropriate to have a pedophile talking about filling holes.
Well, I was talking about her lamp, if you didn't understand.
No, I understand that that's what you're talking about.
Good.
All right. Well, I really don't want to talk about that with you anymore. If you're comfortable with it, I think we should go ahead and play our games. What we're going to do, listening audience, is
both Mr. Levantre and I are going to take, we're going to take 5 minutes, and we are going to write a sequel and a prequel. Does that sound good to you?
Sure. That sounds like a fun time. Would I can like fill those holes.
Would you like to write a sequel or a prequel? What do you prefer? Do you have a preference? Never mind. I don't want to hear about your preferences. You'll write a prequel. I'll write a sequel to this story. And we're going to take 5 minutes, and then we're going to read them to you, audience. So we'll go ahead and take our 5 minutes presently. Ding dong, who's there? It's us, we're back again. So that's been 5 minutes. I'm ready to read my story. Are you ready to read your story, Mr. Levantre?
Yes, I'm quite prepared.
Excellent. So, listening audience, here's the drill. We wanted to flip a coin, magnets, many other things were suggested. Monkeys, Twister, other things. Mr. Levantre himself suggested that we all give ourselves a number, 1 through 3, including Mr. Jones, and then whoever produced the largest fecal matter into the toilet, that person would go first. However, that didn't make any sense, because Dustin is not reading a story, he is simply producing the show.
Also, I don't poop out of my anus anymore, so it's different for me.
Also that. So we've just decided that I will go first. But, you know, actually, Mr. Levantre, I'm thinking perhaps you should go first, as yours is a prequel. It would only make sense to go forward chronologically. Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me. The best for first.
All right. I'm not sure I agree with that, but whenever you're ready, go ahead and read your story. Your prequel to Akemi's Secret Passion by Lord Rebecca Sama.
Akemi's Budding Passion by Jeffrey Levantre. I had felt in the wind, in the sheets, and on my lips for a while now. Blood. Harsh, life-filled blood. My lover wanted me to change, but was I ready? I tested many bloods to nurture my budding passion. From animals to self-inflicted wounds, even my own lamp. At first my stomach turned, but soon I began relating it to him. My love. My blood. My passion. As my nose turned the corner, he was there for a copy of my favorite author's book. Jeffrey Levantre's new bestseller was in my love's hands. Cold, dead, sexy, pretty, cool, sexy, hot, but actually really quite cold hands. Now that's why I love my kawaii vampire boyfriend. Please read it. It changed my life.
Mr. Levantre, I would like to first apologize to the listening audience. I feel like it perhaps might have been a mistake to have you write any kind of anything to do with any sexual contact. Is that legal for you? Do you not have any restrictions on that sort? I'm not sure how this works, honestly.
Not in the Americas, no.
It's not legal in the Americas.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you asked if it was legal. No, it is illegal in the Americas.
It is illegal in the Americas?
No, it is illegal in the Americas. Now, that depends on your definition of the Americas. But we won't get into that.
Yes, yes. We won't go into that any further. Thank you for deciding that for me. I also did have a question, though. It did seem like you were promoting your own book in this version of or this prequel to the story. It did seem like you were referring to My Nose Around the Corner, the novel that I mentioned at the top of the show. And were you also announcing that you were going to be doing a new book as well? Did I understand that correctly?
Well, I'd like to write true to life. And market research for my books that my cousin Carl has done has shown that my books are very popular with the teenage girl audience, which I feel this is, you know, trying to connect to. And the piece, I told you, it moved me in many ways, and it made me decide that I want to write a vampire novel. So I thought I would just go ahead and announce it in there, just for the listening audience, just so you know. That's going to be now That's Why I Love My Kawaii Vampire Boyfriend. It's going to have to do with a girl who loves her kawaii vampire boyfriend and also really loves the CDs Now That's Why I Call Music. And for good reason, because they're great in compilations, and I really like them a lot.
All right. I guess, listening audience, you heard it here first. Acclaimed author and pedophile Jeffrey Levantre will be writing a new novel, Now That's Why I Love My Kawaii Vampire Boyfriend, out in stores in the future at some point.
Soon.
All right. Well, speaking of the future... I wrote a sequel to the story, Akemi's Secret Passion by Lord Rebecca Sama. Would you like to hear it, Mrs. Levantre?
I would love to hear it.
That's wonderful. I'm going to read it for you now.
There was no sarcasm in that comment, by the way, audience. I'm not a mean person.
All right. Michi-chan was now just a skeleton of the skele animal she once was. In the past, she had been quite the hot topic amongst the many vampire lovebird teens. In this future, though, she was forgotten, discarded, alone. Akemi had once held her close to her chest at all times, but now that Akemi was older, well, matured, vampires don't age. She didn't have time and was embarrassed to hold a stuffed animal. Plus, Atsumichi's parents never would have approved of their marriage if Akemi still clutched Michi-chan like she used to. So Michi-chan sat in the corner of a cupboard with dust and other discarded, forgotten memories. She was a stuffed animal, but now her heart was empty. Well, Mr. Levantre, what did you think of my sequel, my addition to Lord Rebecca Sama's story, Akemi's Secret Passion?
I found it very touching. I thought it was a good follow-up. The first story was about finding love, and the second was about finding out that your childhood can't last, which to me is a very close start, as you might know.
I've just met you, so I can only assume what you're trying to refer to, and whatever it is, I'm not entirely sure I want to know more. Perhaps, I mean, as a writer, though, I mean, I am always, you as a writer, I'm interested to hear what you have to say. It is surprising that despite all of your personal flaws, you do, you have sold so many books. And so I'm interested to hear what you have to say about my writing style itself. And perhaps you could just give some tips to our listening audience about how to write a compelling story. Perhaps maybe just your top three tips for writing. Maybe let's start at number three and work up.
Oh, okay. Number three, always have something on the background. You don't want to take your writing too seriously. If you become self-important, and I think we just saw an example here, folks, your writing will, it'll be good, but it'll lack that quality that most people want. Self-loathing.
Was that one piece of advice? It seemed like you said, like, several different things, and none of them were necessarily about writing.
Truths have many sides.
Okay. What about number two?
Number two, write with a pen. Computers are distant.
Interesting. Very naturalist of you. And your number one tip for writing, audience, be listening to this one. This is acclaimed author Jeffrey Levantre's number one tip for writing.
Never write sober, always write shit-faced.
I would just like to say the best worst story you've never read does not agree with, condone, or support anything said by our guests or in our stories. It does not express the opinions of ourselves or this show. They are solely the opinions of our guests and the authors and so on and so forth, not our own.
Multi-million national best-selling author opinion.
Multi-million national. Your books are sold in many millions of countries.
Yeah, I'm pretty famous across the universe, actually.
Your books are not only sold on this planet, they're sold on other planets and other countries.
That's correct. There's a small galaxy kind of in the corner of our universe that I have a big following in, but I can't talk about that. I signed an NDA.
Oh, well, I certainly won't push the subject.
But I can tell you if you want to. Want me to push it.
I don't want you to push anything.
That's unfortunate.
Perhaps for you. Let's move on to our second game and how we typically like to end the show, where we ask each special guest to write a little something, just something inspired by, can be anything at all, and something inspired by our producer, Dustin Jones, who's been rather quiet today. Dustin, I wanted to check in. How have you been doing? Are you feeling well?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Just didn't really want to say anything around your guest.
That's totally understandable, Dustin. Yeah, I'm sorry that you had to spend so much time with him in the green room earlier.
It's fine. I'm just here.
So, Mr. Levantre, you've come prepared with something about Dustin here that you're going to share.
Yes, I enjoyed the company of Sir Dustin quite a bit. And I have made a shopping list for Dustin to make me happy, Sir Jeffrey Levantre. I'm using Sir now because I feel like we're both gentlemen, and I would just like the audience to know that. The first thing I would like Dustin to buy for me is a copy of a great book I saw on the table in the waiting room. It was called The Dog Dialed 911. I didn't get to read it, but I think I would like to do it more than anything, because it looked like a lot of fun. It had mugshots on the spine, but I'm really hoping that that's just because the dog knew that those men were going to be bad and called them before they could do anything terrible. Now, if he can't find that, I would actually just like him to buy me a business book, because while my novels are very successful, I'm not quite making as much as I would like to. Ideally, I would like to make at least $20 a minute at all times in order to be truly happy. And honestly, that's all I really want from Dustin. Happiness eludes me, and I would like to fill that hole with some hot, hard cash. It would go deep, and it would leave a very lasting impression on me that, you know, that I think both me and him could enjoy. And, you know, but if he can't find that, I would really just like him to buy me the largest bag of peanut M&Ms he can possibly find. Yale is my favorite M&M, and he makes me very happy. Because he reminds me of myself at a younger age, before I became more of a red, you know, an alpha male, if you will.
That was your interpretation of Dustin?
Well, what I would like him to do for me.
We're very open-ended about how guests respond to this on our show. Interpret Dustin in whatever way they want to. And it seems like you've misinterpreted how to interpret Dustin.
I like to interpret people through my own wants and desires.
Yes, I believe that the courts have decided that as well. I believe that that's how that conviction came about.
No, those results were inconclusive. Like I said, it depends how you define the Americas.
Yes, the Americas. Dustin, do you think you're going to be able to help out with any of those things?
Yeah.
Yes, you are going to be.
I'm flattered.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, he won me over.
I hope so.
All right. Well, okay. I wish I had been the subject of the interpretation. Or rather, I wish I had done an interpretation. When I get a chance to do an interpretation, I'm going to ask you to buy me some books and get me $20 a minute and all of these things.
No, you're not good enough.
You have to inspire. You have to have his nose turn the corner for you, you know.
Yeah.
It goes a lot further.
Mr. Levantre, this is now the third time that you've tried to promote your book on our show. I did it once for you. You really don't need to do it anymore.
You don't get to the top without a certain sense of self-loathing and self-drive. And I think people need to know that.
self-loathing and self-drive, those themes seem contradictory.
Well, that's what life is.
Contradiction or self-loathing?
Both.
See, how can you even argue with that? He's great.
All right, Dustin, that's enough from you today. I know I said we didn't hear much from you, but I really don't want to hear any more from you for the rest of the episode. So.
Okay.
I'll see you after the show, Dustin.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and end the show today so that Jeffrey Levantre and Dustin can get a little bit better acquainted. I'm done. If you would like to hear your story read, send us a copy online at lexoutloud@gmail.com. Special thanks to Lord Rebecca Sama for use of her story in this week's show. Special thanks to our special guest, Jeffrey Levantre. Our theme music is by Dustin Jones, who also produces our show. This has been a production by Lex Out Loud, a.k.a. LOL, Kentucky's freshest improv team. I am your host, Cameron Lindsay, and this has been The Best Worst Story You've Never Read. Keep the stories coming.